You are listening to Adventist World Radio, the voice of hope, the station that cares for you. It comes to you every Wednesday.
The program that brings you everlasting life and draws you closer to God.
In our program for tonight, you'll be listening to the Word of God's and Family Life Lecture.
And music will be flowing within our program. Stay tuned.
For more information about our programs, call us on telephone number 0782-710-908. Or write to us at Message of Love Bible Correspondence School, P.O. Box 823, Arua, Uganda, or 247, Juba, Sudan.
For more, and just listen to this beautiful song.
Zekiri Rabuna. Fizama Iltali Sashababu. Zekiri Rabuna. Fiombatal Intama Bikeli. Yakwani Shunukani Kabasuana.
Shitani, maniata jisi, maniata ena. tapi Yesua magili bakulu maguata ala dunia de mabikabas lo tapi Yesua magili bakulu maguata ala.
Let us prepare ourselves to listen to Family Life Lecture.
This is Message of Love, Voice of Hope. My name is Koboji Simon, Community Educator. Our topic for today is proper choice of a partner. When boys and girls become sexually mature or have reached the age of consent, the age at which it is legal for them to engage in sexual intercourse, they usually begin dating and courtship, which are both process in choice of a marriage partner. Marriage is thus the end of a church. Dating means meeting the opposite sex at a given time and spending time together to know more about each other than in proper friendship. During dating, prospective partners can learn how to communicate with each other and review each other's suitability for courtship. Courtship is usually the stage after dating when one has made choice of partner and begins to try to persuade or interact the other to choose them. During courtship, the couple usually show off their strengths, best looks, manners, generosity, wealth, power as a guard against the dangers of premarital sex and its resulting illegal pregnancies and sexually transmitted diseases. Dating and courtship in other countries has been traditionally supervised by family members. In many societies, the girl's aunt or brother and the boy's sister looks for suitable partners for the eligible boy or girl. In some cases, the grandmother acts as go-between. In most cases, courtship is a short once boy and girl have agreed to marry each other and gained family consent. Choice of partner is traditionally based on the following criteria. 1. Family approval. 2. Mutual cultural background. Some tribes, religions. Mutual cultural backgrounds. That is to say, some tribes, some religions. Good reputation also can be considered. Good family background. Character. Boy is older than girl. Oh, boy has better education, equal economic status. Oh, boy's family is richer. Personal appeal, romantic love, good looks, similar interests. Personal appeal in order to fulfill the purpose of marriage and create a relationship that will succeed. The marrying couple should consider during courtship whether their intended are willing and able to endure hardships together, stand by each other, not blame each other for misfortunes, as well as enjoying good fortune. Maintain a permanent relationship. Work on the marriage together. Care for the marriage and each other. Develop a special loyalty for each other with the assurance to give each other of first consideration above other things. Raise children together. Assist each other to fulfill responsibilities of parenthood. Traditional courtship is marked several stages and details from culture to culture and place to place, but usually the boy's family members must be permitted to marry. Background check is made mutually between families to check reputations, mental and physical health, history, social position, and other criteria. If the boy is accepted, negotiations are begun between families concerning the dowry. Festivities and rites usually take place after bargaining. If completed, sometimes the couples may cohabitate, live together, and consummate the marriage begin before dowry payment is completed, but the marriage is not considered legal until dowry has been paid in full. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back from that great message from Family Life Lecture.
Here is good news for you. We have free Bible Correspondence School that offer courses like Basic Health, Step to Christ, Bible Discovery, the Book of Daniel, the Book of Revelation, and Personal Bible Study Guide.
Therefore, to get these courses, call us on telephone number 0782-710-908 or write to us at Message of Love, Bible Correspondence School, P.O. Box 823, Arua, Uganda, or 247 Juba, Sudan.
It is a right time to listen to the word of God.
Greeting to you all again. Today with you in the studio is Charles Lagu. I'm happy to be here to share the word of God together with you. Today we are going to share together with you God's commandments of love. You know, we all govern by certain rule. Even at home, we have certain rule for us to do this and that. Even children are not all free. Even I'm always amazed to see every morning when people try to wake up, others are moving, the pedestrians are moving on the road. Others are just riding using bicycle. Others are using motorcycle. Some are using vehicle. We are all using the only one road from there. But because there's a rule which gives us always, when you are going, you need to follow right like that. So it gives us space for the vehicle, the motorcycle, the one who is moving, the one who is riding, even to go from there. And if any person make a mistake to cross, leaving his path, immediately there are going to be accident. Our God of love also have given a certain rule. That's why I say His commandments of love. Because our God don't want us to endanger our life. He don't want us to enter into accident in which we will lose our life, in which we will die even sometime. And because of this, He have given us a wonderful rule of love for us to keep. The more we move using His side, following all the regulations and the rule He have given to us, we're in a safety path. There's no problem. We cannot hit each other. But as long as we divert ourselves away from what God's told us not to do, immediately we enter into problem. Even every time, in every city, in every place where people are not following the regulation of their town, not follow the roadside signal from there, immediately accident happen. And God of love also have given a certain rule for us to follow. So one of the greatest law have given to us have been given through the prophet Moses, the old prophet from there. So we want us to go together with you, try to review all these 10 rules which can govern our life. But these are rules of love. Rule which can safeguard our life if we keep them. Others can safeguard our relationship towards God, and others can safeguard our relationship towards one another, with our human being, with our fellow brother and sister in Christ. So, when we try to see in the book of Exodus chapter 20 verse 3, we can here see the first rule which God has given to us. It says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Look, God say, He is the only God. He is our only creator. We shall not reverence somebody apart from Himself. This is one of the first law here. And then again, if you continue to be reading the verse here, and then God also say here, coming to verse 5, "You shall not bow down to them. You shall not have make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above all, or the earth beneath, or in the water below." So God is the only one for us to worship. So there's no need for us to make an idol for us to worship or to bow down, because He's the only one for us to be worship. Then again also in verse 7, it says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name." God is our King, is our Father, is somebody who is so majestical. We need not to play with His name. Some of us, even in the part of Sudan, people will say, "What a Rabbona, in the name of God, through by God," like that. So God don't want us to misuse His name like that. He is not a simple person. Even sometimes we are the one who went wrong. We are the one who steal. We are the one who lie. And then again, as we use the name of God like that. God is so holy, we don't want to misuse His name like that. Then coming again here in verse 8, we say, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord, your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither nor your son or daughter, nor any manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the aliens within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and make it holy." Amen. So here we can see in summary, God has given us 6 days to do our own work. Even God himself has created this world we are living in 6 days. By the 7th day, God has completed creating all everything which we are seeing in this world. What did God do? Did he go in the garden? The Bible says God rested, and God has blessed the Sabbath, and God has set the Sabbath to be apart. So you know, this is our creator, our maker. God is our doctor. You know, when the doctor say you are suffering with asthma, you are suffering with tuberculosis, please don't smoke, don't do heavy work, don't do this, don't this. If you continue to be doing that thing with the doctor say you not to do, what will happen for you? You will die. And likewise to us, if God himself, who is in charge of our life, can work for 6 days and then rest on the 7th day, and he command us to also observe the 7th day, the Sabbath, for us to rest, if we continue doing our own way, our own thing, continue to work on that day, what will happen to us? What will happen between us and our relationship to our God? So God is a loving Father. He has given us this loving commandment, loving rule, so that he can keep us safe in our work together with him. And he keep us to be connected together with him. Then again here, when you try to see in the verse 12 here, it says, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is given you. You shall not murder. So we are requested to honor our parents. God have channeled our lives through our parents. We didn't come from somewhere. It's God's power which have been put into the relationship between our father and our mother. That's why you and I have been born. And this is for God have needed our lives through them. So we need to respect them. They are the one who educate us. They are the one who create to us the image of God. They are the one who create to make us to be aware of our God. So we need to respect them. We need to give them honor. And also again here, God said to us here, we are not to be always killing people. We shall not murder. And we shall not commit adultery. Why? Life is not from ourselves. Life originates from somebody. God is the originator of our life. So who is there to take away the life of somebody whom he have not even know where this life come from? That's why God say, do not kill. And do not commit adultery. Why? God wants us to have a healthy relationship between female and male. God is not always happy to see his people messing up like animals. You know, the only sin which God cannot tolerate is sin of immorality. You remember the other time when God destroyed those people in Antediluvia? In the time of Noah, people resort to live like animals. And then God cannot manage to tolerate that. Likewise, in the day of Lord, when even men and women try to exploit their evil desires between themselves, God cannot manage to tolerate. God has destroyed them. So because of this, God said, always each person must be married to one man, to one woman. Then we should not commit adultery. No one is allowed to go and sleep with the wife of another person. Or another person is going to be allowed to use the husband of another person. So God wants us to have a healthy relationship. Because God is pure, he too also needs us to be pure. Then again here in another commandment, the 8th one here, God say, you shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not convert your neighbor's house. You shall not convert your neighbor's wife or his maid servant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So this is what God say. In the 8th commandment, God say, do not steal. God always needs his people to be honest. God don't want people to be dishonest. Why do you own something which doesn't belong to you? God don't want people to be dishonest. Then also, God wants us not to bear false witness. You know, Satan is a liar. If we continue to be lying, we are going to be the sons of Satan. And God is a honesty God. God who is always transparent, also he wants us to be transparent in all our dealings. Again, also, God don't want us to desire anything which belongs to our neighbors. Whether his wife, whether his maid servant, whether his ox, whether his bicycle, or whether his vehicle, whatever his video, whatever his camera or radio, don't desire that because it doesn't belong to you. Then if all of us can keep this rule which God has given to us lovingly in the Bible, we will be free. There are going to be any problem among ourselves, then there are going to be also no problem between our relationship towards our God. Then let us try to come and summarize all these 10 commandments which God has given to us. The 4 commandments are all addressed to God. Let us have no other God before us. Let us not make idol before God. Let us not use the name of God in evil purpose. Let us observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. If we always keep all these 4 commandments, we are giving reverence to God. We are not taking another God. We are not even using the name of God in evil purpose. We are not even making idol for us to worship. And we reverence God because of Halloween, the day he has given us to rest together with him. Because he too also created this world in 6 days, and then on the 7th day he rested. The 4 of them all pointed to God. When we keep all these 4 commandments, our relationship with God is going to be perfect. There's no problem. And as long as our relationship with God is affected, then all these six other commandments will have no use in our life. Look at what you start to see from number 5. It says what? Respect your mother and your father. How can you respect your father or your parent if you are not respecting God? Are you seeing? This is the contrary. So as long as we cannot be able to honor God, there's no need for us even to honor our parents. We can yell at them. We can fight them. We can chase them. We can kick them. But God says us to honor them and respect. And God said that life is not belonging to us. No one has the key of life. So because of this, let us not kill. No one is allowed to take somebody's life because you are not in charge of any person's life. And because of that, God is so holy. God said, let us not commit adultery. He is pure. He is holy. We too also need to have a clean relationship. And because of this, God said also, let us not steal. God don't want us to own some material which doesn't belong to us. God don't want us to be dishonest so that we need not to steal the property of other people. And God told us again also not to bear false witnesses, going from there, going to one place to another, creating some falsehood, being a false report. God don't want. And God don't want our heart to run after the women of other people, the material of other people. So as long as we continue to be going against this sixth commandment, even here on earth, immediately we can start to receive the penalty. Go today, start to steal. What will happen to you? The police will imprison you. Go and fight your mother. Be respectful to them. What will happen to you? Police will take you. Go and steal. And go and bear false witness. And go also have affair with somebody's wife. What will happen? People are going to take you to court. So the other four commandments are attaching us towards our relationship with God. Then the other six commandments is attaching us towards our relationship with one another. But all these two commandments have been summarized together. Even when Jesus came in this world here, he said, there are only two greatest commandments which I can give to you. They are just simple. And all these greatest commandments are the summary of the 10 commandments. Jesus makes it so more simple to us to follow. Let us try to see the goodness of keeping God's rule to us. If we are keeping God's commandment, what are the advantages for us? What are the goodness for us to be found in there? Let us try to see in the book of Psalm 19 verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Oh, wonderful. The law of the Lord is perfect, which means the God rule which he has given to us is so perfect. And it's reviving the soul. It is bringing back those people who are weak, who are hopeless, who are perishing in sin. It can revive them. It can bring them back to life. And it's so trustworthy. Even it makes people who are simple to be wise. This is the greatestness of the Lord. It's like light to our path. Can guide us. And it's perfect. And it's trustworthy. That anything can be found to be wrong with the law of God. He's the one which safeguards our community, our family, even our individual life. If we keep, as long as we keep the law of God, we are in it without problem. No one even can take you to prison. No one even can judge you against anything because all your works are so perfect before God. And you are trustworthy because you keep the law of God. Now the challenge came here. Many people say when Jesus Christ came to this world, he changed this law. There's no need for us now to follow any law. Let us come and ask Jesus Christ, real weather, change the law here. Let us go to the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 17 to 19. Let us see what the Bible would say. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophet. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least of stroke of a pen will be any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of this commandment and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of God. Amen. Did you hear what Jesus Christ said? Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law and the writing of prophet. I have come not to abolish them, but I have come to fulfill them. And I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth will disappear, the smallest dot of this commandment, none of them will be taken away. So if anyone break one of these commandments, that person is going to be remembered least in the kingdom of God. But anyone who break one of these commandments and teaches others even to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of God. But those who practice and teach this commandment will be called great in the kingdom of God. So my brothers and sisters who are listening to me, Jesus Christ has not changed God's law. Jesus Christ has come to fulfill it. Jesus Christ can't even say to us to love our enemy, to love our God, to love ourselves. So he's not against that. Even he pay even taxes. And then how can he abolish the Ten Commandments of God? So we all have been here to be guided by the commandment which God has given to us. To us to go free to heaven, we need to follow this rule. They are the ones safeguarding us. But if we went to enter an accident, to go on our own way, let us try to do anything, go slide apart from this commandment, immediately we are going to enter in probe. Let's try to see what Matthew chapter 22 verse 36 to 42. What does the Bible say? Teachers, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it is, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophet hang on this commandment. This is what God did from here. Jesus Christ has summarized all the 10 commandments. He said, love the Lord your God by all your heart, by all your spirit, by all your might. And love the Lord your God with everything you have. Then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Then this sum up all the 10 commandments. So these 10 commandments are the summary, which draw our relationship toward our God by loving God with all our power, by all our might, with all our strength in our heart. Then loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Brothers, we really love ourselves. We feed ourselves, we dress ourselves, we sleep in a nice, clean place. We always take care of ourselves. If we can render the same service to other people, that's what we call to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Whatever you expect people to do good to you, do to other people. Then by doing that, we will be there together, remaining to be with God. So God has given us these 10 commandments to be a rule to safeguard us. Then it's assurance to us to lead us. Then when we break any of these commandments here, as we side away from the road, what will happen? Immediately, accident will happen. Then immediately we will lose our life. So what kind of assurance do we get when as we keep the rule which God has given to us here in the Bible? What kind of assurance has God have given to us here? Let's try to see in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 10 to 11. And the Bible says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Look what Jesus Christ said. If we really love Jesus Christ, we will keep his commandment. And how can you keep a command of somebody if you didn't love who speak to you? But what Jesus Christ said to us here is his joy will be complete if we are really keeping his commandment. Then if we remain in his love, then he too also can remain in us. Then we will obey what he told us to do. So these are the assurance which we have from God. If we really keep his commandment, we will abide in his love. And if we really love him, we will hear what he said to us and speak to us through his word which he has given to us in his 10 commandments. So my brothers, is by God's grace, if we all will keep this commandment, we will have no problem. Even our door will not bear even locks like that, because who is going to steal? Now we are locking our doors inside and outside because we are worrying that people are going to come and steal our property inside. But if all people will be Christian, all people will trust in the word of God, not to steal, not to lie from there, we will have no burden of carrying our kids together with us. But as Jesus Christ said, if we love him, we will keep his commandment. I really love him. I want Jesus Christ to be my savior. I dedicated my life to him. Now my plea is just, as weak I am in life, I want him to help me in this simple life, to come closer to him, to obey and do whatever he commanded me to do. May his grace be together with you as you struggle to keep what he say. And then as he say, as we love him, we are going to keep his commandment, and his love cannot be expressed by mouth alone. We need to do whatever he told us to do. May his grace be together with you to keep his rules so that he can keep you safe, not to enter into accident of life again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for the words of God. And if you have questions, comments, suggestions, please write to us at Messages of Love, Bible Correspondence School, P.O. Box 823, Arua, Uganda. Or call us on telephone number 0782-710-908.
As we are ending our program for tonight, you'll be listening for more program next week on the same time at the same frequency. God bless you.